Hello, mech fans, and welcome to the Valhalla Club. Grab yourself a Timbiki Dark, set up that paint booth, open that spreadsheet, and join us as we talk all things Battletech.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Valhalla Club podcast. I am Dave. I'll be your bartender this evening. Tonight, we have Mike, Ben, Matt with us, and we have our guest, Seth White Fox from the Mercenary Star podcast, who will be joining us for our discussion tonight on Battletech RPGs. Well, Seth, thank you for joining us. You're the host of the Mercenary Star podcast, and you go pretty deep into the lore behind the mercenary factions of the upcoming Kickstarter. So thank you for joining us, and we'll go into a couple of questions about how you got into Battletech and kind of your experience with RPGs before we jump into our main metal talking about the various Battletech RPGs.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be a part of the podcast with you guys. I mean, I hang out with you guys during the week all the time in the MWO channel.
What?
Shout out for that.
Yeah.
That is true. I try to make it, but you know, I'm an old man and I go to bed early.
Old grumpy man.
I'm not grumpy. I just can't stay up till 2 a.m. like some people.
Sounds like grumpiness to me.
It's okay, I can't either.
Well, Seth, how long have you been playing Battletech?
So I have been playing Battletech since about, I'm dating myself here, 1989. Now, I was not, I was 8 or 9 years old and had a friend at church who was older than me who invited a whole bunch of me and my friends to come play Battletech. And it was a really cool board game that I immediately loved because, you know, big stompy robots. So I've been playing Battletech tabletop, since then. And it wasn't soon after that we were playing the original MechWarrior video game. And the rest is history, you know, just kind of fell in love with everything in the universe after that. So,
well, Seth, I'm not actually that far behind you. I started playing when I was probably about 10, 11 years old back in 91. So nice. I'm an old man too. What's your favorite faction?
That's tough. as it is for all of us, right? But you know, I've got a favorite like in each category, right? Inner Sphere, Clan, and Mercenary. But because I am the host of the Mercenary Star podcast, we'll just go with Mercenary for now. The Grey Death Legion is definitely my favorite, both the new and the old. I kind of obviously fell in love with, you know, Grayson, Death Carlisle, reading those early books in my youth. But I really do like how CGL is bringing them back and the story that they're going through right now. I won't give any spoilers for anyone who hasn't read those books, but I painted some of my early mechs back then from my third edition box set. All those unseen mechs painted in the urban gray camo for my Grey Death Legion. So, and my son is also named Grayson. So, don't tell my wife.
So you're also a big tabletop RPG player. So that's made you an excellent guest for this topic. What drew you to tabletop RPGs in the first place?
Well, honestly, the first tabletop RPG book that I ever thumbed through was the MechWarrior 2nd Edition. I actually have it right here next to me. And I had no idea about, you know, what a tabletop RPG was in the early 90s when we found this book and didn't really know how it fit into the Battletech tabletop game. other than the fact that we thought that the rules were really cool and we made really cool and interesting characters with the character creator, and then we just used them as our pilots in the classic Battletech. So,
you didn't even play RPGs with them?
No, we did not play the RPGs other than maybe, you know, scenarios that we played on the table. But yeah, it was, you know, like I said, it was kind of creating worlds and stuff back then, you know, with our own characters. Fun fact, that's where White Fox was born. He was my main character there and has just been with me ever since. But yeah, that was definitely the start of it. And then honestly, other than, you know, the occasional video game RPG that I enjoyed growing up, it wasn't until, oh man, when the fantasy, okay, I take that back. I did also get the West End Games D6 Star Wars game. But though I had the box for it, I never played it growing up. And so it wasn't until Fantasy Flight Games announced that they were going to be doing the new Star Wars tabletop RPG in early 2000s that I started getting into it. Got the beta for that, played it, loved it, eventually played D&D, and then just now I kind of love exploring a whole bunch of different tabletop RPGs. So.
And so the downward spiral began.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So which is your favorite way to play an RPG? I mean, there's the kind of abstracted concept that Destiny has, or the more rigid that stuff like A Time of War has. Which one do you prefer?
So that's kind of tough because I've definitely played more games that are, because I've barely played Battletech RPGs, but that is something that I'm changing this year. I've played one very short campaign of Destiny, and then a little bit of A Time of War. And I like the kind of detail-oriented crunchiness of A Time of War because it's more similar with things like D&D and the Star Wars TTRPG. But I will say the way that I play those other games and the way that I tend to enjoy my Battletech RPGs are a lot more rules light. So I like having the rules, but typically I'm the game master or dungeon master, and I'm very flexible and like to kind of, you know, improvise on the fly and kind of and go rules light. And if it's a rule of cool, meaning if it's a player wants to do something and it sounds awesome, I'm going to let them do it. So
that's fair. That's kind of the same way I am in my approach to setting up this Destiny game that we have coming up. And I grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons, and that's a rather rigid system. And
yeah, it absolutely can be.
The appeal of Destiny is that the whole section in the book of how to play the RPG is about 10 pages long of a 200-page book.
They're not lying. It's easy to learn. You know, I'll save it for the more detailed discussion, but there are things that I am not as comfortable with, maybe borderline, not even sure I'm a fan of within the Destiny system.
I think I know where you're going with that, and we will definitely we'll get into that.
We'll get there later.
But anyway, so that brings us kind of to the cusp of our main metal topic, which is going to be Battletech RPGs. So currently in Battletech, you have two main RPGs. You have the MechWarrior Destiny, which is the abstracted collective narrative style RPG. And then you have A Time of War, which is the more traditional, rigid, rules-based RPG that is similar to, that'll be more familiar to folks that have played Dungeons and Dragons or Pathfinder or games along those lines. So obviously we touched on a few of the older editions of what have been built up into the current two modern RPGs. You had the MechWarrior, which had a second and third edition, and then it became A Time of War. And then you had recently the release of Destiny within the last 5 years of this more abstract collective narrative style of RPG.
Yeah, for those doing research, if you've come across one that says classic Battletech RPG, that was basically FanPro's version that was third edition, essentially. They just renamed it.
Mm-hmm. In fact, like you, I have a second edition MechWarrior RPG book on my shelf.
Oh, yeah. Has the still Mad Dog on the cover getting shot. Love it.
Yep. And currently, to get into any of these things that we're talking about, you can get them on the Catalyst store site. You can either get them as a PDF or you can get them as a physical book.
Can we get the second and third editions then?
No. I mean of Destiny and A Time of War.
Oh, okay.
You might be able to get them as PDFs.
Yeah, I think you can get them off of DriveThruRPG.
You can get them off there as well. I know for a fact you can get the classic Battletech RPG as a PDF from CGL's website.
Oh, okay.
I haven't actually looked for second or first edition on their site, though.
Starting to click keys, I will return and report.
Nice.
I haven't looked because I own all three of them, so I don't bother to look for PDFs I have physical copies of, so.
So what we'll do is first we'll go through the differences and similarities between the two current RPGs, and then we'll have more of a freestyle discussion on how you integrate your favorite style of play with these two RPGs, and then more of the pluses and minuses of actually playing them. So from reading through the manuals, what I came up with for the differences between A Time of War and Destiny, I'll start with A Time of War, is that it is the traditional turn-based RPG where you have more rigid movement, you have very detailed descriptions of what the different skills do, and it is traditionally a GM-driven RPG experience. So, more of the traditional Dungeons & Dragons approach where you have the GM leading the story and the players create their characters through the manual and then play the game. Destiny, on the other hand, is, in its pure form, is a collective narrative RPG. So rather than having the GM fully developing the story and laying out the missions and laying out the path along which the players will travel, each player gets a turn at describing the narrative and shaping the story as it goes on. It uses a new system called a cue system and plot points, where the player sheets have different cues on them of traits that the mech warrior has or the player character has that can be used at any time for narrative purposes. And then plot points allows characters to change the narrative by spending a plot point. Rather than this being a traditional kind of map and miniatures, it is based on described scenes. So each mission is typically supposed to be about three scenes long. So think of it as chapters. So you have the story progressing through three chapters in a book to the end point. So your build up, your suspenseful middle, and then your conclusion. Similarities, both systems are D6 systems, or 2D6 systems. The systems use what are called life modules to build and style your character. So you basically create your character and then choose how their life went. Spending various character creation points to get them through those different life events, and then you eventually get to deciding what skills that these characters have prior to starting the actual RPG. The third similarity that I kind of picked out was that they are both skill check-based systems for performing actions, where A Time of War is more, it just has that more rigid, like you can do two actions versus Destiny, where it's more of the rule of cool, what are you going to do? I feel like I went through that really fast. All right, podcast done. Have a great night, guys.
Oh, we'll have a lot more discussion in the second part, right?
So before we move on to the, how do you integrate these into your favorite style of plays? What do you guys think between the two systems? Like, who's played it? Who hasn't? What experiences do we have with these two to kind of help folks understand which one might be a better fit for the type of RPG experience that they want to have?
I'm thoroughly intrigued and want to do some RPG Battletech games. I picked up the Destiny book, I think like a year and a half ago. And roughly a year ago, I actually started reading into it. And I'm not going to lie, when I got to the queue system, it lost me. And I've heard other people have similar comments. I'm also don't really consider myself to be super creative, so I haven't really picked it back up to look at. I guess I'm more of a player than a GM type.
Yeah, I think Destiny to me just, and this is kind of layman because I have very little experience with RPGs, but Destiny to me the queue system to me seems a little bit like RPGs for a group of GMs, right? People that have already kind of done their own, they've run systems, things like that. And so you have a bunch of people that have experience kind of being creative and running through scenarios where they're kind of driving the action versus kind of what we think of. And, you know, it's always going to be this comparison with D&D, but the D&D system where you have a game master or a dungeon master, whatever you want to call him or her, and they're kind of helping the rest of the players go along. They're kind of generating the plot points and stuff. So in my just kind of layman's term, that's how I see it.
Man, I think that's about the best way that Destiny can, and the queue system specifically, can be described, is that it's really going to be difficult for players who either don't have TTRPG experience or don't know the Battletech universe, because they, like, basically passing the baton to another player and have them kind of take over the narrative lead. If that person has never done it or they don't feel like that they're very creative, it's going to be really hard for them and challenging. And so, you know, like what Mike said, it can definitely turn a lot of people off.
Yeah, I agree. It lends itself to a more experienced or at least well-read player than it does for just someone who's going to pick this up, never having played Battletech at all before, and try and play Battletech RPG, which I don't think I would recommend either of these for someone to come straight off the street having never played tabletop or never played any of the games to try and play these.
Well, and I think it also, in my mind, it kind of runs into maybe some problems with kind of personality. So if you've got like a kind of more of a quiet personality and maybe in a normal kind of D&D type setting, you're not having to drive things that much. You just kind of react rather than create the action. It's a little bit more difficult in this queue system because you may not just feel comfortable, like not even with like the action or whatnot, just kind of like your personality may not jive with that type of thing where you have to always be adding to the story rather than just reacting to what is happening in the story. But I think that could be another thing that might a quieter person would kind of disappear or feel uncomfortable in that type of situation. So that might be another thing to consider if you're thinking about doing Destiny.
So I think the book actually in Destiny does a decent job with giving you example character sheets so you can kind of get an idea of what the queue system really is. So I'll just pull one of the random Mech Warriors out of the book, which is some of his cues that they have on the sheet is, looks like it's our turn again, never go into battle without a plan, plans always fall apart, holy hell, we actually made it, armor and ammo are expendable, people and fusion engines are not. So it's little cues that people can use to drive the story if they're narrating something for that specific character. But it doesn't lend to driving the overall story arc.
And those are great hooks for someone who knows the Battletech universe, or they feel comfortable creating a narrative. But for some, like what we've kind of said to this point, if you don't know how to drive narrative, or you don't feel like you're that creative, a one-liner is not going to help you set a scene for the other people in the party to be involved in your narrative for whatever that scene is.
And I think on the flip side, it's also designed for the player to write these down so that when certain things happen in the narration, it gives them an idea of how their player should react. Almost like the alignment does in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, and to that point, that's exactly what I was going to bring up, is this seems like, I've kind of read through some of the D&D materials, but these phrases seem like the alignments and the other stuff in D&D character creation, but instead of being in the background with your backstory in that kind of, you know, traditional RPG case, it's now in the forefront causing action, like direct action through these things. So I just think it's kind of a interesting, maybe quite different, like kind of mechanistically, where they put these phrases as the hooks for things rather than kind of in the background as far as character creation.
And to be fair, the Destiny system itself, like the mechanics, like you said, the actual mechanics of gameplay is not that difficult. It is easy to learn. I just think that it's, you know, like the actual rolling of dice, making test rolls, which are the equivalent of skill checks, or combat. I think the mechanics of it is actually pretty easy for new players to understand. I just think, you know, as we keep reiterating, the Q system could be difficult. So.
Do you think that they've integrated the Q system itself well into the BattleTech universe with Destiny?
I'd say it's 50-50. Personally, it depends on the player.
Yeah, I think honestly, like reading through it, I've read cover to cover the book once, and then I've picked it up and read through different sections multiple times since I've had it, and I don't know. Like, I feel like there could be better examples, you know. That's one of the things I know that I ask most times, that there is like a Q&A or you know, or an AMA. I'm like, when are we going to get more, you know, RPG stuff, more Destiny resources? And when I say that, I want actual dedicated Destiny resources that probably would help explain some of the Q system a little bit more, whether it's an adventure module, you know, because in other TTRPGs are always called modules or or source books as well. But to this point, RPGs have really been an afterthought since they deployed this Destiny book. And they've put out little snippets here and there, like in like Turning Points or in Shrapnel, but it's really difficult, unless you're, you know, completionists or people who are very much involved in BattleTech and just want to buy everything. You can't just like go find these things unless you buy everything. So you can't just buy the TTRPG stuff, you know. It's not like other, it's not like Star Wars where, oh, I can buy everything for, you know, the X-Wing tabletop game and just play X-Wing tabletop. Or I can buy everything for the Star Wars RPG and just play the Star Wars RPG. And I don't have to have things from the X-Wing line just to play the RPG. But in BattleTech, you do.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of crossover. To the point, I did do a little research here. It looks like on the Catalyst site, you can get the fourth printing of MechWarrior, the MechWarrior RPG, which is called Classic BattleTech RPG, which is essentially third edition with a new cover. That's what it says on there. So that is the one that you can get other than Destiny and Time of War on the CGL website. But yeah, I totally agree. Like, you, at times I kind of think there's a little bit of like the Pokemon gotta catch them all type thing with BattleTech. You gotta collect them all and you never know where you're gonna find them. Because I always see pictures of like, oh, I found this at a flea market or whatnot. But kind of the crossover between RPGs and tabletop, where they've, in Destiny, as far as I've read it, they've tried to do that and tried to include both sides, and they've kind of modified things to make the tabletop side, the, you know, kind of the battles, the big mech battles, to be pretty simplistic, but still work for, I think, for a lot of people. But I think maybe another thing that kind of plays into this is that this is not done in a vacuum, that Catalyst has another product that kind of leans more heavily into RPGs. As far as I understand, Shadowrun kind of runs pretty heavy into RPGs.
So it's maybe primarily an RPG. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's maybe that's where the RPG resources are being put until, like, you know, people clamor for BattleTech RPGs. But I think there's always been like this proud desire to have those things. So I think it's kind of a good time to bring it up.
Well, I think that they, unfortunately approach the TTRPGs kind of in the same way that they approach their two different tabletop game modes, right? We have Alpha Strike and we have Classic Battletech. And whenever they put out a product, it usually has rules for both Alpha Strike and Classic. And that's great for the miniature side of things, because if you're playing a miniatures game, you want to buy it anyway, because it's going to be useful in either. But as far as like TTRPG resources, they, like we said, they're just kind of sprinkled in here or there. And maybe this source book that is 95%, you know, tabletop, because it's, you know, like Empire Alone, for example, there might be 5% of actual like mechanical rules stuff for the tabletop RPG in there. Or it may be, you know, like one or two things in Shrapnel, you know, in one issue of Shrapnel that have those, you know, maybe it has like sniper rifles, you know, I know that's been one before, or, you know, or it has like something else RPG related. The problem is it would be more fair to RPG players to do the same, but just with RPG. So have an RPG book, a source book for, oh, this is the Empire Alone RPG book. And maybe it's not as big or long as the full RPG, you know, Empire Alone book, but it's just the RPG elements. And it can have rules for A Time of War and for Destiny, but it should be, you should be able to get those by themselves. And I think that's the biggest hindrance to playing an RPG in Battletech, is that other than the main rule book, you just kind of have to make it up on your own, unless, like I said, you're one of those of us who just buys every PDF and every book.
Yeah, and it seems like the era, kind of the era settings type, how Battletech does it by eras, that kind of seems like a good setting to make these different, you know, okay.
Oh, you absolutely.
Know, in this particular, you know, the War of 3039 or whatever, then you have all the modules there. And yeah, I think that really is set up for it. It just hasn't been developed well.
Yeah, you could have a Clan Invasion RPG source book, and it could just be Clan Invasion. And you could easily fill a source book just with RPG stuff for Clan Invasion, or just with the invading clans, like they, you know, they did with that source book, or the Jihad, you know. So
it definitely felt like when I was looking through A Time of War and Destiny, that Destiny was more focused on the Inner Sphere side of the role playing, and A Time of War was a little more well rounded. But I mean, A Time of War has also been out for a lot longer, so it's had more time and editing put into it. Because when you look at the life modules in A Time of War, you have all of your stage 1 through stage 4 modules have some sort of clan flavor in them, where in Destiny, you have to go to the clan addendum to actually start looking at clan stuff.
Well, and Time of War has more products, too, that are specifically a Time of War. I mean, Destiny really only has the main source book.
Yeah. But I will say something I did find really interesting about Destiny was that the plot point system. So players can spend, outside of your standard A Time of War where you can spend edge points, players in Destiny get both edge and plot points. Mm-hmm. And they can use those plot points to change the outcome of something that is happening. So it's almost like a narrative edge instead of a, you know, a reroll opportunity. So I found that to be rather interesting, and I'm actually looking forward to using that when we finally sit down and get this Destiny RPG that I'm planning rolling. But
yeah, it's neutral resource that everyone, you know, it's a pool of points that everyone can pull from. You know, and there are other game systems that use a very similar system with as the plot points,
mm-hmm.
Where it goes back and forth. And so, you know, whoever in Battletech, you know, if you're the person running that in Destiny, if you're the person running that particular scene and you're the GM for that scene, then it would be between you and the other players. And so, yeah, like it is a great narrative tool for sure.
What I did find really interesting about that particular system was that the players start with 3 plot points each. The GM starts with 1, but every time a player spends a plot point, it goes into the GM's pool. So the players can only have up to 5 plot points, but the GM can have unlimited. So if the players start, you know, spending their plot points, they're just transferring that power from their side over to the GM's side. So
it encourages both parties to use them.
Yes.
I've played other TTRPGs where literally the same mechanic was there and the players were so scared to use their plot points, essentially, because they thought it was going to be too big of a swing, you know, mechanically for them to win a fight or do something special or cool. And they were just kind of fearful to use it. But that is the point, that everyone uses it and that it's a continual back and forth.
Well, I think that also comes down to, you know, what kind of environment you set up as a GM for your players. If you have made them fearful of you, that you're going to use that god power to just crush them, then I don't think you're doing it the right way.
Also true.
But another fun thing that I noticed when I was reading through both of these books is that the integration with tabletop, as far as whether it's Classic or Alpha Strike, A Time of War is wickedly confusing. And it basically assumes that the players will convert Total Warfare to the A Time of War skill-based system, where Destiny converts Destiny into Alpha Strike or Total Warfare skills. So it makes it a lot easier to move your characters from the Destiny system into a Total War versus a Time of War into Total War, or Alpha Strike for that matter. So I thought that was a kind of a big plus in Destiny's corner for...
Well, does A Time of War predates really the big push for Alpha Strike though, right?
It does, but it was rather specific about Total Warfare that you don't convert your character to Total Warfare. You convert Total Warfare to A Time of War, which I felt,
unlike felt which you did, clunky.
Sorry. Right.
Which is odd because, I don't know, I have opinions.
I'd like to hear them.
Share them. Yes.
Share them.
So, all right. You know, I'm a longtime RPG connoisseur of Battletech from the very first one, which was lacking. MechWarrior 2nd Edition was probably my favorite for the longest time, but I wanted more detail in the skill sets. I wanted more detail in the breakdown of skills. And I guess when it comes to the new Destiny in A Time of War set, I will probably remain a grognard when it comes to those two systems, because I feel like MechWarrior 3rd Edition was the epitome of where I wanted to be at with an RPG.
I would say that is totally fair.
I tried to get into A Time of War to the point where even the character creation process, I had to make a spreadsheet just to like track all the stuff down and all the calculations that was needed. And I was like, this is way too difficult. And it was like, I felt like I was regressing back to MechWarrior 2nd Edition just in character creation. So that kind of turned me off of A Time of War. I read through Destiny, and I think you guys are all hitting the nail on the head when it comes to it. It's definitely, you have to have knowledge of the setting. You have to have knowledge of, you know, story creation and creativity. And if you are not a face front man kind of guy, then you might get left in the dust on Destiny. So that's just my opinions right now.
You know, one of the things that I have seen, so like I said, I've played Destiny kind of two ways. I've played it, you know, with people, you know, kind of live, but then I've also played it in like a play by post setting. And in that kind of setting, I feel like the cues actually can work better because you have time to think about it. You have time to set up a scene. You have time to, you know, again, someone who's maybe not creative could set up a scene a little easier and not have the pressure of being in person at a table or on Discord trying to narratively come up with something on the spot.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. you know, I've been doing a play-by-post in a different game system for almost 3 years now in the same campaign. And it's very, like you said, it gives you time to think about what your action is going to be, to create the story kind of thing. So I could see how Destiny would really shine in a play-by-post type vehicle.
Well, and that makes me wonder, would a hybrid be kind of the best of both worlds? So you have the kind of RPG light aspects of Destiny, but then combine it with a more traditional GM run tabletop experience. So you have a GM running the game, making most of the creative decisions about how the scene is going to be set up, how the players, who their NPCs are that they're going to interact with, and kind of taking on the role of those NPCs. And then the players get to use the queue system and plot system from Destiny to interact with the story and change the story as they have those interactions. Because that's kind of the
a time of Destiny.
There you go. But because that's kind of the way I was approaching this Destiny campaign that I'm setting up, because I know there are a lot of people that are brand new to a RPG setting may not be, like Ben has said, like Seth has said, they're not going to be as comfortable with the creative side of it. And I think that's where, you know, the GM steps up and takes on that role to, you know, shepherd these players through a story.
Ben, you go first on this one.
Oh, man.
I have lots of thoughts, but I want to go first.
You know, we're talking about the hybrid version.
Yeah.
Would it be fair to say we're at the, how would you change things or integrate things in your style kind of section here?
Yeah, I think so.
We've kind of made it there.
Yeah, we've roundabout made it to that point.
It's one of those things. It's like, when I play Total Warfare on the tabletop, I'm playing it for the detail. I'm playing it for the crunchiness. I'm playing it for all the visuals that I get in my head from, you know, an arm getting blown off, a weapon getting destroyed or something like that. You know, and I feel like A Time of War has the crunchiness almost. It's like right there on the cusp. Whereas Destiny is more of the Alpha Strike version of A Time of War. You know, that's just kind of how my brain worked on that one. How do we make it better? Just re-release MechWarrior 3rd Edition.
You can't use bourbon as the excuse to make everything better.
No, well, that's bourbon.
Strip everything else out and just add bourbon.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's every person playing an RPG is playing it for a different facet of the RPG. If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know. So it's really you've got to find your thing that draws you in. You know. I mean, I don't know how many characters I created in the MechWarrior 3rd Edition system that I just used on the tabletop as my characters in my mechs. You know.
See?
Are some of them older than the people we play actual Battletech with?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, the coolest thing that I found was in MechWarrior 3rd Edition was your pilot and gunnery skills are broken up into ballistic, missile, and laser. Ooh. So you could literally have a different gunnery role for shooting a large laser versus shooting an Alarm 20.
In an RPG, that totally makes sense to me.
Right, absolutely. You know? But I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
Well, I mean, like, I definitely agree with you, Ben. Like, you know, I play classic Battletech because I love the crunchiness of that. Like, what is classic Battletech if not us with a character sheet? Just the character is a mech as opposed to a person.
Right.
And, you know, obviously the person is a part of that. And you can absolutely go, you know, and kind of RPG the tabletop with the campaign, you know, scenarios and stuff like that. But as far as Destiny and kind of to your original question, I think that Destiny could absolutely work without the queue system. I think you could take the queue system out I think you could use all the mechanics of rolling for skill, or, you know, the skill rolls, which are tests, you know, or the combat rolls, oh my gosh, the plot points, I think absolutely can do it too. Edge. I think all of the mechanics of the game could be run in like a traditional GM player setting, and just basically not use the queue system. I think it could work that way, which I think is what you were kind of asking. So,
yeah, I totally agree with that.
Now, could there be something in between, you know, Destiny and A Time of War? Absolutely. And I actually did buy the classic BattleTech RPG PDF within the last 6 months because I read that it was basically third edition reprinted by FanPro with a different cover. And so, yeah, I was curious about it and I wanted to check it out, but I haven't done anything with it yet. But yeah, I think I haven't done enough Time of War probably to know the difference between it and second edition or third edition. But, you know, like I said, I think there's something to be said for having someone not only help drive the narrative, especially with players that aren't as experienced or as good at doing that. But I think that like for me as a GM, like I love introducing new players to tabletop role play games, but I also really love when I get to a point that I don't have to drive the narrative as much for them. And so, you know, I want them, like at the end of the day, this is a game and it's supposed to be fun, you know? And so if you can play the game with the queue system and enjoy it and everyone kind of gets how it works, then fantastic. But I think for a lot of people coming to BattleTech, it's going to make a little more sense, especially because, like, you know, the GM is someone who's also like, hey, we're going to have the game on Friday night, right? They're also like the scheduler. And so you've got to have somebody driving, you know, not only maybe the narrative, but also getting together to play the game, making sure everyone has what they need. It's hard to manage that. Just as hard as it is to manage, you know, getting together at a game shop and playing the tabletop game.
Yeah. One thing I've also noticed is as far as like online resources for either of these different formats, I was checking out Tabletop RPG, Roll20, and Foundry. There are no one has made anything for these yet. So,
well,
it just kind of shows it kind of speaks to the popularity of the RPG side of BattleTech. It's still fledgling.
I think that's the problem. It is fledgling, but I think the problem at the end of the day is that there are a lot of players that just use classic BattleTech for their RPG because it works very well in scenarios, right? I mean, campaigns, going through, you know, clan invasion and just doing it all on the tabletop in classic BattleTech.
Yeah.
Is how a lot of us play as, you know, kind of RPG. It also takes buy-in by the, you know, license holder or company.
Yeah.
And there's just not buy-in on it. Which, you know, Shadowrun is a wildly and long-running successful RPG. Like it is, you know, 90% a tabletop role-play game.
So what I hear you say is they ought to just write a BattleTech conversion for Shadowrun.
I mean, well, and that's the thing is that I think they tried to do that a little bit with Destiny, but they didn't actually. I don't know how much they actually consulted with like BattleTech people in doing so.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Sorry if that's a hot take, but
I think CGL
is doing a fantastic job with the tabletop game. But the RPG, you know, as we're kind of lamenting here,
it's just kind of languished.
There's no buy-in. Like it, I feel like Destiny was put out as a placeholder or as a means to appease those of us who have asked for it. Because A Time of War, when did that even come out? It was like 2012.
Yeah, 2000. Let me look at the first page of A Time of War. Let me see here. Where's the publishing date?
I mean, Alpha Strike was around, but it was in its infancy.
So the last time A Time of War was revised was 2022.
Well, sure.
Which is actually kind of surprising, but
well, that's when they did
2005 is last time when it underwent a major.
2005. That's even older, right? So Alpha Strike was definitely in its infancy. It wasn't even called Alpha Strike yet. I don't think it was still like what was it
called? No, it was still like Quick Start Rules.
Yeah, like Quick Classic or something.
Yeah, I remember I ran the demo at Gen Con for Quick Start, and they handed it to me right before I was supposed to teach it, and said, "Hey, this is the new stuff."
Well, that was 2006. But that's like,
what the thing. This thing.
But that's the thing, right? Is that Quick Start Rules for Classic? I think could make an excellent, it could make an excellent conversion for the RPG playing the RPG. You know, in tabletop, like it's still classic, but it's rules light classic, right? Mm-hmm. And instead, they decided to make an even more rules light, you know, Alpha Strike classic for Destiny, because it's not Alpha Strike. I mean, you know, if you go to the where the record sheets are for the players and their mechs, it's definitely more detailed than Alpha Strike. You actually have an armor diagram for your mech. Or vehicles.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Which I like, but I mean, why didn't they just use Quick Start like the, you know, the starter box rules for that?
Yeah, they almost could have just left that entire section out of the book and just said use this to play tabletop with.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have just gone through and said, "Hey, you know, whenever combat occurs with mechs or vehicles, you know, for all players, just here's a conversion, do this to get them to go to Total Warfare."
Yeah. And I mean, I understand too, though, if you had somebody who's just a tabletop role player and they're like, "Oh, I'm going to pick up this new game." It does need to be a complete package. It does need to have all the rules and the record sheets and the armor diagrams. The problem is that if somebody picks up Destiny and they're just a tabletop role play game person, there's nothing else for them to pick up.
Yeah.
They can't dive into any of it. You know, if they're like, "Oh, I want to learn more about the universe," we don't have the universe book yet. That would be an excellent resource to help, I think, which, and it's coming, obviously, but they can't, you know, there's nothing else that points them in a direction to expand on what they learned from this book.
Yeah. Well, that, and when you look at, you know, when you look at events, just events alone at convention, you know,
no one's running an RPG.
Yeah. Nobody runs a time of war campaign, you know, or scenario.
Yeah.
Definitely not Destiny either, you know. So I think there's got to be push if CGL wants to push it as a alternate game system or whatever you want to call it, you know, there's got to be a push from the top to make it something that gets played on a regular basis. Or something that gets feedback to be improved on, you know,
which is interesting to me, because just like seeing Randall, was it the week or last week on the Tuesday update? You know, it's obvious that he's a huge like RPG fan, where they're partnering with Pathfinder and everything, but it just seems like it just hasn't transferred into this incredible universe that we have of BattleTech
that's already established.
Yeah,
right. I mean, there's
bonkers.
And that's the thing. I mean, you know, just writing stuff, there's so many different hooks out there for an RPG campaign, you know, so many.
Absolutely.
And so many of the stories are character-based, which lends us to the RPGs.
Which it boggles my mind that, and I get it from a standpoint of this started out as a board game, you know?
Sure. Absolutely.
It started out as a beer and pretzels, cardboard cutouts and a map and hex base figuring it out. And it's just expanded from there. But, you know, if the two separate sides of the coin are the universe and the game, you know, when you can translate the universe into the game from an RPG standpoint, I think you've made a lot more connections than you have with the universe into the mecha-based tabletop Total Warfare Alpha Strike side, you know?
Absolutely. I do remember. No, you're totally right. And you're right. Like, Randall is absolutely an RPG fan. Like, and it's not just that. I mean, like, they're going to do a Voltron one, right? And I think that's really cool. But also, you know, at the end of the day, the Voltron universe is not that big. Mm-hmm. And you've got, you know, five lions, you know, and there's only five lions. So, I guess it's like, I don't know. Unless you go
Rick and Morty.
I'm interested. Well, right. Sure.
Well, and that's, you know,
galactic ferrets or something.
I tried to get into the Shadowrun realm for a little while when they released like the fourth edition book or something like that. And I found it fascinating because there's a lot more, it's a lot more stuff. There's magic and elves and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I can see, just like with D&D or, you know, I can see maybe the draw for people is stepping outside of their normal world into a fantasy world. So I get that piece of it. And BattleTech really just doesn't have that fantasy piece to it, aside from the mechs, you know.
Well, you could BattleTech step into war crimes. Military. You could step into war crimes. I mean, BattleTech is a military sci-fi, you know, military futuristic. And so, yes, absolutely. I think one, that's why there's a lot of veterans and active military people that play BattleTech.
Sure.
But I think two, you're right. There's not that sense of fantasy. Or there's not that sense, as far as the tabletop games we've had to this point, there's not that sense of stepping out of reality as much in BattleTech as there is in Shadowrun,
mm-hmm.
Or yeah. D&D, or even, you know, other related games. One of the things that I didn't like, and I don't remember who said it, but it was during one of the AMAs. When they were streaming live from somewhere, I think one of the conventions, and one of the answers given about why they weren't doing more was that, well, I mean, realistic weapons, it's just too hard because, you know, one shot could kill somebody. And I did not like that answer, first of all, because we have other tabletop games that use weapons that could kill you with one hit. I mean, Star Wars, come on, lightsabers, one hit.
Yeah.
Although I guess new Star Wars is any indication, it's not one hit anymore.
So many things can stop a lightsaber.
Right. But you know, blasters or, you know, there's ballistic rifles in Star Wars or whatever. I mean, there are systems already out there that handle those things perfectly well. And obviously you have to suspend reality a little bit when you're playing a game. So unless you just have the worst luck, much like we do in BattleTech sometimes, and we get a critical hit on a head, on a cockpit, and then yeah, that character's dead.
Game over. <know?
laughs> Game over.
But game over, again, you just write Junior next to the name on the character sheet, right, you flush exactly. out the cockpit, and you load him in.
Well, and that's I think how they would have to approach it is death is a very real possibility. And you have to be prepared when you come to it as a player to know that
your character could die.
Like death is coming, but you have to temper that with, well, but you can also just have another character, right? You know?
That's why you have a Lance of Four.
That's why you have a Lance of Four. Absolutely.
And why there's hiring halls.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of room for improvement for the BattleTech RPG scene, for the Mech Warrior scene. And I hope that we get there, honestly. I hope with the growth that Catalyst is going through and the growth that their RPG... I mean, they basically created an RPG division at this point. And so my absolute hope is that eventually they turn their eyes back to BattleTech and MechWarrior. And whether it's adding more to Destiny or a Time of War, or they come out with something completely new, I want them to put some focus on it.
Yeah.
I would like that too.
Yeah. I think there's room in the universe for it, you know, and there's, it also, and I get it. You know, CGL is a company. They're looking for where, and I'm not saying that they are only concerned about profits. What I'm saying is they're looking at, can they sell it? You know,
Sure.
There's a difference between profits and can they sell it? You know, is it worth the effort they're going to spend to make it? Is there enough draw for people to buy it kind of thing? Absolutely. You know?
Well, yeah, because then even then you would have to look at the fact that RPGs don't really require you to invest in, at least not RPGs like this, that require you to invest a lot in unique miniatures. You have a general dude that you can use as your character, and you either have a bunch of other humans and maybe a few vehicles that are,
you know, but I think the opportunity
6mm scale.
I think the opportunity is absolutely there. I mean, they've already shown off Destiny scale miniatures.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they have thought about it, and they could absolutely go into something like that. I mean, like the force packs themselves, that is exactly what D&D and Pathfinder and other RPGs out there do with selling miniatures. They sell a pack that has 3, 4, 5, maybe 10, if it's a, like a bunch of, you know, like NPC minions or something. They sell packs and they sell, I mean, and I don't know, maybe this again could be indication, but the fact that they're doing pre-painted minis in the Battletech stuff, maybe that means later down the line we get pre-painted Shadowrun and Battletech, you know, RPG minis.
That'd be cool.
Well, I feel, Seth, you remember Battleforce, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're old like me.
Yeah. Oh, I remember it all. I didn't really play it, but I mean, I definitely...
I didn't either.
One of my friends had it, and we thumbed through the book all the time.
I feel like that was the bridge between, like, MechWarrior 2nd Edition and MechWarrior 3rd Edition. That was the ability, because it was all 25mm scale, you know, type. They had a 25mm Atlas, or not Atlas, an Elemental.
I remember that. I never was able to find one.
I know you could never find them, but I feel like that was supposed to be the combative piece to tabletop playing for the RPG was Battleforce itself, you know?
Right.
I mean, I owned it. I read through the book, but I never ever played it with anybody because I lived in the country.
same here. I lived in a very small suburb outside of the city. And so I was close enough to make it into a game shop every once in a while. But otherwise, all my games happened with my group of friends in my small town. So,
yeah. Yeah. So I you know, I could see them, you know, I remember when Ral Partha produced like the MechWarrior packs, and it had like a Steiner MechWarrior, a Steiner like infantry guy, a Steiner tanker.
I must have missed those somehow. We had like one game shop. It was 30 minutes away and they barely carried anything. So all I did was look at the Ral Partha catalog.
Yeah, and I remember them coming out. I never saw them in the store anywhere. I think I saw them a few years later on eBay. And I was like, what the heck is that? And they were like, oh. I was like, okay, so they produce stuff for that kind of line. So I don't see why they couldn't do the same with the current production of CGL plastics. MechWarrior stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously we're kind of wandering off into like, you know, wishful thinking here at this point. Yeah, and I love it. I could talk about like this stuff all night. But... you know, there's so many different avenues that CGL could take it. I mean, like from an industry standpoint on RPGs, because, you know, I'll shout it out later if you don't care, but I actually have a TTRPG focused podcast, and we look at basically all the other TTRPGs that are not D&D. And so, you know, I'm definitely in the RPG industry as far as like what I'm seeing coming out. And I think there's so many things that could be done. One, just online tools. You know, obviously D&D has their big D&D Beyond online tool, which is their in-house version. And they try to steal all the ideas from everybody else. But it is a fantastic tool. And obviously there's others that have been around for a long time, like Roll20 and Foundry and stuff like that. But there's another tool that's coming out. And there's more all the time, honestly, that are, VTTs or virtual tabletop programs, essentially. But there's one that Pathfinder uses that even a whole bunch of companies use one. And so it would not be hard to basically say, hey, let's put BattleTech on this, you know, on this system agnostic digital platform. And it could have a character creator, it could have all those things. And that alone makes barrier entry easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, like I said, you could go into the minis, you could go, I mean, into all sorts of things with it. But I think that the buy-in from CGL has to be there. And obviously we're just getting close to the Mercenaries Kickstarter completion. And then after that, we'll see what direction they go. Like I said, my hope and dream would be that with them starting their own TTRPG sister company or division, whatever you want to call it, that we see more come to BattleTech in the future.
I agree. I think that would be a fantastic development for the line as a whole to really make it a full product line.
Go team.
Go team.
Okay. I had one more thing that I just remembered I was going to talk about with Destiny. And one thing to your notes where it says, what's an, how would you integrate your favorite style into this gameplay? I think, like I said, I think I would probably try to run Destiny with the classic GM party, you know, player party system. But what I would also do is, along with the plot points as that kind of neutral pool for players and GM to use, that is a mechanic that is in the Star Wars RPG game from Fantasy Flight, and all the other RPGs that they put out as well. But another thing that they use is to help drive the narrative is something that is a system where you can succeed but still have a negative effect, or you can fail but still have a positive effect. And there's another game by a very popular D&D group of a bunch of voice actors known as Critical Role that you guys may have heard of. They're coming out with their own system, which is a take on several other systems. But essentially, I think with Destiny being a 2d6 system, you could implement this succeeding with a threat or failing with something positive happening by using kind of the same system that they're going to do in their upcoming game called Daggerheart, which is having a positive, which basically when you're rolling, theirs is going to be 2d12, where you have one of the d12 is the hope dice, and then the other one is called the fear dice. You could do the same thing with 2d6, where you have, you know, one of the d6 is the positive and one of the d6 is the negative. And so basically, when you roll for a skill check, say you have to beat a 5, right, and you get you know, 8 on the 2d6. Well, if your positive dice has the higher number, then, you know, you succeed, you know, kind of with excellence. But if you still got an 8 and you beat the skill check, but your negative dice was higher, then maybe you succeeded, but then you kind of left yourself open, you know, to reprisals or something, or there's something that could be happening. And so, like the Star Wars system, like other systems out there, I think that could be a fun homebrew.
It could be a really fun
that I would try to use that. And it kind of just helps drive the dice drive the narrative, especially for people who maybe aren't as experienced or as good creating narrative themselves.
Yeah, I actually think that sounds like a really interesting way to do that.
But that's all. That's all I got.
Remarks complete. Is Mike still alive?
Yeah, I'm here.
He's probably like, fuck this RPG talk. I just want to shoot Max.
No, I thoroughly enjoy it. I don't have anything to really contribute to it because I've never actually done it.
Well, then you should join the Destiny RPGs, game.
Mike? What was that, Seth?
Sorry, I was asking, have you played any RPGs before?
Tabletop? No. Computer? Yes. And computer is literally just KOTOR 1 and 2, and then I've dabbled into BG3, and that's it.
All good examples. All good examples.
Me and the kiddo will be the players of a campaign that a local friend is setting up for me and the kiddo. And I'm not sure exactly what style. He might do it in his own style, which is perfectly fine. But yeah, we haven't started yet, so I still don't really have much of anything to contribute. I'm here for the ride today, and it's a good ride.
Mike's going to buy his first dice block of D10s, D4s, D6s.
I want to get into D&D. I won't have time for it really until we move home. But I did possibly buy some really nice stone dice from Norse Foundry while I was at LVO. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful. Oh my God.
Let's be honest. Like miniatures, RPG dice. Players like to buy dice.
Yeah. Okay. Dice addiction is real.
That's true.
It sure is.
All of us Alpha Strike players know that all too
well. And that might already be my second set of like RPG D20 dice set.
Guys, I got like 5 sets on my desk right now. So
I still only have 1 because I haven't found a D&D game to play in a long time. I've got all the books now, but none of the, no one to play with.
Dave, I mean, I have a weekly game. I can have you on as a guest.
Oh, I don't know how well that would go because I don't know shit about the game. It's been years since I've played.
I promise, 5e, really easy to get into.
The last 5E. Time that I played, I want to say it was 3.5 is the last time that I played. And I got the entire party killed in the first bar we walked into. But to be fair, I blame the GM for letting me do it. He let me play a chaotic, evil, shape-shifting rogue.
That'll do it.
And I stole, stabbed someone, then turned into another person in the bar and left. And well, then the bar fight killed everyone.
Unlike other RPG games we've talked mostly about tonight, I actually have resources that I would give you. So,
that's fair. I mean, it was a bad decision on my DM's choice to let me do that.
Player's handbook, basically. Oh, I've got all the and stuff like that. No. I have for like the world that I've created. I have like a like 5-page document that just has like all the information you'd needed to know.
Possibly depending on when and where.
Yeah, we'll talk later.
Okay. Well, why don't we give Matt a couple minutes?
So I'm with you, Seth. I'm a Redbox guy.
Yeah. I didn't have it.
I had the Redbox and the light blue box. I think that was the advanced D&D.
Redbox was advanced.
Blue. Ooh, you're talking like second edition, aren't you?
Yeah, second. Like yeah. This is like way back in the day. That was the first RPG or actual game I ever owned was the Redbox D&D.
That was the first RPG I ever played.
I mean, I grew up
second edition Dungeons and Dragons.
I grew up in a Christian home in the 80s and 90s, and you know, back then we didn't know
any D&D.
You were a devil worshiper.
I think I could play mine into the house.
I could play Star Wars. You know, now it's one of those things where it's like, okay, we've come far enough. Now we all know that it was not really anything.
Right.
It's just the game.
Right. And so, just a bunch of nerds sitting around drinking Mountain Dew.
That's right. That's right.
I attack the darkness.
Who doesn't remember that video from the 90s?
Oh man. But yeah, that was my first. I made a lot of characters, but I never played the game. That and what was the other one? Star Frontiers.
I could talk forever, but I really want to play Traveler, which goes
I
do. Back
want, I want to play Traveler as well. I will admit that I am the person who does like I'll listen to. The Black Pants Legion, they're playing through their Traveler campaign, and I'm like, that actually sounds pretty fun.
It is. Well, RPGs in general are a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are. We did one a couple years ago. We did one, I don't even know what the name of it is. Where the heck was that at? That was me and a bunch of the Catalyst guys were doing some stuff on the weekends.
You know what I think, Ben?
What?
And Seth, are you going to Gen Con?
I'm about 65% going to Gen Con.
Well, I think
I'm working,
that is
I'm working on the logistics. So.
65% chance of us playing Destiny.
Hey, one of those nights, I'm totally down.
Rift.
And Ben, you're included.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see, man. I'm kind of working a little bit too. So
unacceptable. You're playing.
Well, I may not have an option for that one because I've got things planned for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday already.
I will just stand awkwardly next to whatever your table is, and I'll just make sure that nobody shows up so that you can come play Destiny with us.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. Yeah, Rifts was the one we were playing for a little while, like 6 months maybe.
That's awesome.
That was an interesting one. I've been in a Twilight 2000 campaign for like 3 years now. That's that play by post one we've been doing.
Yeah, I think the queue system in Destiny could work by play by post, but
oh yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
Unless you've got like was said earlier, unless you've got a group of GMs or a group of authors, you know, essentially storytellers. I don't think that it's as viable.
Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah. Well, that pretty much wraps up the main metal, and that leads us into our next wonderful segment with our brewmaster Ben for the drink of the month.
Hey, all, this is Ben here, your BattleTech Master of Spirits. Get your mixers, liquors, shakers, stirrers, and strainers ready as we cover this month's BattleTech drink of the month.
Drink of the month this month is called the Battlemaster. The Battlemaster is made with 1.5 ounces of blue curacao. That sounds great too. And 1 ounce of gin. Pretty even, you know. It's not too shabby. I tried it out just because I happen to have some of the blue stuff, and it wasn't too bad.
What gin did you use?
I don't know, whatever random generic gin I have. I don't drink gin, man. It didn't taste real good when I mixed it with bourbon, though. That's for sure.
Well, if anyone out there is looking for a really good gin, try Hendrix.
Hendrix, okay. All right.
I mean, I'm not really a drinker, but Ben, every time I listen to this, and if you have more than 3 ingredients, I feel like every time you're like, yeah, it's just gross.
Yeah, it's just so bad. It's so bad.
It seems the simpler, the better.
He says it's gross if it doesn't have any bourbon in it.
That's true. Well, I will say, what was it, 2 months ago, we had the Word of Blake interrogation. That one's not bad. Kahlua, vodka, and Sprite. That's actually not too shabby. It just
But that's only 3. So
it's only 3.
We need to make all of these at Gen Con.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa! Just
for people to sample. Or if somebody loses a bet, they have to drink the Pelican.
I mean, that's a big budget right there.
That's a lot of. We'll have to find a common theme among some of them, so we're not spending too much on a bunch of booze.
We'll just get those little airplane shooters.
Oh yeah. Well, I guess you could do that. That's what I do for most of the stuff that I don't really carry. I just get the little tiny bottles from the liquor store if I got to. But yeah, the Battlemaster, it's okay. Obviously it could use more bourbon and less gin and blue curacao. So there you go. That's your drink of the month. Woo.
All right. Well, that brings us into Return and Report. Last month, we had Genghis Khan, and we had several events that were going on. We had an Alpha Strike tournament. We had a company-on-company classic game, as well as some scenario classic games that were happening at the con. And everybody had a great time. I think we had probably around 30, 35 people throughout the weekend that stopped in to play at various points. And for the Alpha Strike side of things, Our winner was Greg W. So he was also the winner of LVO. And then our second place went to our very own Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
And then our third place went to James Hunt. It was a great game. It was a four-round tournament. Everybody had a really good time. We got a chance to meet some new players, and we got a chance to give away some cool prizes. So a big thank you to everyone that came out to the Alpha Strike tournament from me and from Charles, who was helping me run it. The other events that we had was the Battletech Brouhaha, which was the company-on-company game, which they played on the BFM, and they took up a good corner of the conference room, and from the sound of it, because they were playing at the same time we were having the tournament, everybody was having a great time over there. I believe that one was run by Ian, and then we had James out in the hallway, who was running the Outworld Waste games, and he had these very, very cool maps where he had taken the standard hex maps and actually added elevation to them. So he cut apart the hex map, added elevation for each of the areas where the map went up or down in elevation, and created a three-dimensional terrain map for classic play, which looked amazing. So huge props.
Josh, do you know what he used for that?
Oh, was Jeremy?
Jeremy, did I say James? Does the Outworld Waste, and then Josh in from Denver is the one that created those maps.
Whoops.
What did they use to create them? Because I've been wanting to do that too, actually.
Half-inch foam board, I think.
Nice. Something like that, where, yeah, you take the actual paper mat and glue it on, and then cut it and put it on the half-inch. So, yeah, it looks really cool. Gives you
I think the way they created representation, it was they laid down, they took the foam board, glued the map to it, and then cut out around the map, and then added, it built up the elevation from there.
I've had plans to do that myself, actually. With, copying the hills and gluing them to foam board. So
yeah, it looked sick. It was really amazing. I mean, it looked logistically like a huge pain in the ass to move, because they were two maps wide, and each board was a solid piece. So they had this big trunk of just boards.
So they have it. Do they have it glued down?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So it's the two
foldable.
No, it wasn't foldable anymore.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I think I would probably just create all of the 3D terrain and then, throw it into a big tub for travel and fold up my map. So
I think that's the next CGL product for maps, though. Make it like the little pop-up books you had as a kid, where the stuff jumped out at you at 3D. You make maps like that.
That'd be pretty awesome. The only problem is it has to be strong enough to support a mech. Like
right. That's, and
I don't know if anything would support our Ares.
Yeah.
No, that's true. Yeah.
I know there's some 3D printed stuff out there, but that's not always the most accessible. You have to have access to a 3D printer, or have someone that does. Or if not, then you basically just have to purchase it. And I feel like I agree, Ben. I think something foldable would be awesome. The Alpha Strike box set terrain would be close, but I think any bigger metal mini, it would be, especially if you get more than one on there, it would just probably wouldn't work with.
And I think it'd be really difficult to have a structurally sound hex based 3D terrain.
Right. Which is why I think foam board, with map on top and then painted, and then maybe have some 3D stuff for trees or other types of terrain would be ideal.
One day we too will achieve the level of coolness that is a Warhammer board.
Yes.
Or no, one of those X-Wing boards.
Yeah, from last year. Those things were amazing.
Last year, dude, they had like LEDs, they had like light up billboards that had scrolling like advertisements on them. They were insane. That's awesome. It was great. It put our 3D terrain to shame a little bit. So we got to step up our game a little bit.
That is true. I need to get back into making terrain. I got to make a bunch more.
I also saw, I think it was John Godfrey.
Yeah, he was doing some tutorial games.
Yeah, he was doing some tutorial games on the side over there next to the Outworld's Waste.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah. So
Shout out to him, it looked like everybody had a really good time, and you know, big congratulations to Greg for winning the tournament again. And yeah, for any of you guys going to Gen Con, he's going to be tough to beat. So good luck.
Next up on the ban list, Heat. Good luck, guys.
We've been saying that for a little over a year now, though, haven't we?
Yeah, we'll see what happens at Gen Con. I think it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another data point for game refinement.
Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a meta somewhere.
Yep. All right, for anybody that comes out and joins us on Friday nights to play MWO, I had a little bit of fun over the last couple of weeks learning how to make sound mods for MWO. So pinned in the MechWarrior Online channel in our Discord, there is a zip file that you place into your game folder, and it changes the sound of certain warhorns to some of your favorite podcasts out there. So I made war horns for the Mercenary Star. His intro music is now a war horn in MWO.
Woo woo.
I took a couple clips out of Wolfnet, some clips out of our own. And then we also got some from Omam, and just had a little bit of fun playing with the war horns, and it's just out there for us to enjoy because it's the client side of your game, so no one else is going to hear them. It'll just be anybody who has this sound pack and you. So if you want to have some of your favorite podcast sounds in your online experience, go download the zip file, unpack it, and it'll tell you there's a Word document in there that'll tell you where to place the file so that you can get those into your game.
And it's free.
So, yeah, it's just something I had some fun doing, and now I get to hear Charles tell me anyone who doesn't learn from history is doomed anytime I kill someone, which is great.
That's fantastic.
But as far as upcoming action, we have the Battlefronts, and Matt, since you are the primary brains behind the Battlefronts series here in Colorado, I'll let you take it away and tell us about Battlefronts.
Sounds great. Yeah, so Battlefronts is a series of events that we've had two of so far. We're kind of working through the different eras of Battletech. So we did one for the Fourth Succession Wars, and the last one was for the Clan Invasion. This one will be for the Civil War, the FedCom Civil War. These Battlefronts events are kind of like a campaign in a day. We've got both Alpha Strike and Classic Battletech covered. So there will be, you kind of make a force and you're going to work through three different scenarios. The awesome thing about this is that in between the scenarios, you have the opportunity to kind of change your force. You have some limited amount of ability to repair and replace what you've lost or had damaged in previous scenarios. You also have the opportunity to gain experience to upgrade your pilots to kind of do kind of relates to our conversation today, to do RPG light, you might say. So it's really fun. The last two we've had, we did them both up in North Denver, up at Hobby Town in Westminster. But this time we're kind of bringing it to the masses. So we're going to do the same event in three different places on the same day. So April 20th, there is going to be a Battlefronts event happening in these three locations, up in Fort Collins. And it will be, for those of you in Fort Collins, Colorado, or visiting there, we'll announce the time and place. But it's not at a game store. It's kind of at a gathering place. And then we'll have one at Wizard's Chest in Denver, and then we'll have another one at Gamers Haven in Colorado Springs. And so in these three locations, we'll have very similar things, although the narrative will be different in each of those. But throughout the day, we'll have kind of the people running the show at each of these locations communicating. At the end of the day, we'll be able to say who definitively, not lore-wise, but definitively won the FedCom Civil War in our current era. So it's a really fun event. It's very beginner friendly. You can kind of make it as deep and as difficult as you want. There's a
For your force generation, there's actually rats. So random acquisition or whatever, random acquisition.
Assignment tables.
So assignment, there we go. So those have been made for all of the particular factions available for you to choose from. And you can use the rats. You can kind of do like a half rat, half whatever I pick. Or you can just go with whatever's on the MUL for your faction. So it's kind of up to you. There's an achievement system. It's not really a competition, but if you get a lot of the achievements, then you might get a special certificate at the end saying that you're awesome because you didn't bring any pulse lasers or something like that, right? Which everyone else loves. Anyways, it's a really fun event, so we hope to see a bunch of you out at each of these three locations.
And who will be at those locations, Matt?
Oh, so that's a great question, but I think Mr. Bourbon is going to be visiting the old Colorado Springs group. Hopefully we've got a bunch of the other guys here from the podcast playing down in the Springs. I know I will probably be at the Fort Collins, helping out the Fort Collins crew, so I'll be up there. And then at Wizard's Chest, I know Jeremy and Josh and Ian, those are all CDT agents and also locals there. Braden helping out, I think. So a lot of a really good group of guys at each of these places. And come have some fun. Charles, you have to come out to the Colorado Springs when you hear this. So don't delay. Yeah, should be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, that brings us to our final segment, which is the shout out. So Seth, as our guest, who would you like to shout out?
Awesome. Well, first, thank you all for letting me join you guys today. Thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. But yes, you can definitely find, well, here, let's see. Shout outs. This isn't self-plugging. I was about to do that. So,
but you can do that too.
Do that too. Okay. All right. Fine. First, shout out to the MWO players in the Discord, because most nights you can usually find someone there and it's a lot of fun. Love to hang out with them, play.
We got folks in there right now playing.
We do. And it was nice to have Mike back from his hiatus.
Thanks.
Yeah. Also too, let's see. Shout out to my most recent guest, Jason Hanza. Appreciate him coming on, letting me reveal some exclusive artwork. That was pretty awesome. And so
that was a cool cover. Him
and appreciate it very much. But if you want to hear that, the Mercenary Star podcast, you can definitely check it out. Search for it on the socials or wherever you get your podcasts, as well as YouTube. It is primarily a visual podcast, so you can actually watch it on YouTube or Spotify. And we try to show off lots of cool stuff there as well. And then because the topic of today was RPGs and Battletech, shout out to my RPG podcast. It's actually called the RPG Rundown. And it's, like I said, it's a look at all the other RPGs that are out there besides D&D. So we've covered a whole plethora, and we're getting ready to cover the Avatar, like Avatar the Last Airbender, not the blue people. We don't mess with the blue people. But yeah, we're getting ready to do the Avatar Legends RPG. But on the short list is I'm gonna run a session of probably Destiny. So
oh boy, here we go.
So yeah, we'll have a review of that as well. So I may put it out there in case anyone wants to join. So because it'll be over Discord with whatever tools I can scrounge up and make available. But yeah, so would love to have you all check it out and listen. A good friend of mine, Jeff, is my co-host on that, and it's a lot of fun. So,
all right, Mike.
All right. My shout out this month is going to be Nachtstiel. I was back for MWO game night last night, and he joined the Twitch stream and was successfully sync dropping with us through the stream. Which has its own delay, and he had it down to a science because he was dropping with us pretty regularly. And then I noticed he wasn't grouped up, and so we looped him into the Discord, and then he actually teamed up with Seth for a little bit. So that was a lot of fun. So big shout out to Noxsteel, and I'm back, baby. That's it for me.
Matt.
Yeah, I'll just shout out everyone that came out to Genghis Khan. It was a lot of fun to see all the players, whether they were playing Alpha Strike and Battletech. Especially Greg W. I didn't get to actually play him in the Alpha Strike tournament, but I played him in a little separate game where we were testing out some new interesting kind of RPG-ish elements with Alpha Strike. And he absolutely destroyed me with some heat, and it was less fun than other things. But Greg's just a nice guy, and I like playing with him and chatting with him. So I can deal with a little bit of destruction on my end. That's totally fine. And also just all of those people that are going to the cons and just kind of getting out there and doing these, going to these events, because it makes it fun for everyone to have a good group of people out there and just get to know all you people and to actually see you face to face is great. So thanks for coming out and playing.
And for myself, just going to pretty much go around the horn and thank Matt and Ben for helping me with the Alpha Strike tournament at Genghis Khan, and then also Charles, who gave me a big hand at running that thing, and everyone who joined us. Thank you so much for coming out there, and I hope you had a really good time. I hope you walked away with some cool mechs and other cool prizes that we handed out. And that's really what I have for a shout-out, just a big thank you to the folks that showed up. Ben?
I'm going to shout out to our man over at Ares Games and Minis, Derek, for being a solid, solid dude. I had an order that I kind of needed some things in a hurry, and he jumped through some hoops and got me some stuff, and it was fantastic. So thank you, Derek.
I will shout out one additional thing before we go. Thursday Night Throwdown with the Wolfnet crew on YouTube. You guys, if you aren't watching it, you should check it out. If you like some Alpha Strike and or Wolfnet action, they're really stepping up the bar lately, and you may hear some Valhalla Club voices helping to commentate on those videos, and it's a lot of fun.
Speaking of Alpha Strike, Break Time Phil has made an excellent AS350 mod for Tabletop Simulator. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, go talk to him and check it out on the Tabletop Simulator channel of the Discord. It's really well done and a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, you'll find it under digital gaming. So in the Discord server, there's the category gaming. There's the forum channel, digital gaming. When you click into there, you'll see Tabletop Simulator. And that's like the dedicated go-to spot for his AS350 mod for Tabletop Simulator. So, and I think that's what he's listing as its official gathering place in like the documentation for his mod now as well. So definitely check it out. It's been getting a lot of views lately and some
news. It has Aries.
And he's been slowly devving it out a little bit more from the sounds of it. So it's just going to be getting better. So hell yes.
Dave, I got one more.
Okay.
Shout out to the Valhalla Club Discord.
Aww.
It's all Mike.
No, seriously, though. You guys,
it is my baby.
I know it is. I know it is. But seriously, shout out to the Discord, because it's always popping off. There's always people in there. And the fact that this community has created with all of the different podcasts and creators that have gotten involved, I'm always checking it. You know, I don't even feel the need to have like my own Discord for my podcast necessarily. Because this is such an awesome community. So shout out to you guys and everyone in the Discord. So,
well, thank you, Seth, and thank you for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
Well, that's our last call, folks. Thank you for spending your time listening to us, and we hope you have a great day.
Last call.
Thanks for joining us today in the Valhalla Club. If you'd like to hang out with us and many other Battletech podcasters, then be sure to join our Discord. Link is in the description. Special thanks to our sponsor, Ares Games and Miniatures.
Ares is the premier online retailer for all your Battletech needs. If you would like to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thevalhallaclub. If you have any comments, please feel free to send an email to thevalhallaclub@outlook.com. Until next time, mech fans.
I guess we can kick this thing off.
Are you really ready, Dave? Are you
No, I'm not.
Just do the intro like 4 times and we'll just take the best one.
Yep, and we'll just edit out the swearing.
I'll just be quiet.
Yeah, I mean, it has been a minute since we've had a bloopers segment, so.
I don't listen to our show. I don't want to skew Mike's numbers.
It's all blurred together. I listen to it so many times.
He does all the listening for me.
And I still listen to it after it's published to make sure that the actual publishing went smooth and didn't corrupt while uploading.
Okay.
Get this thing going?
Yeah, let's do this. Pause for dramatic effect.
You want some special intro music?
I'll just cut this pause out. Like, that's what I always do.
I know.
You can just leave that whole shit in there.
No. All right, so, fuck. God damn it.
There it is.
There we go.
Sorry, do you want me to say something when you introduce me? Or
he was about to do that part.
Yeah, that's what I was about to.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. I'll wait until you actually ask me a question.
Yeah. Well, okay, Seth, good. Thank you for joining us. That sounds like garbage. I said podcast like 5 fucking times.
All good. Okay. We're professionals.
Yeah. Just not at this.